Well, happy new year, everybody. Welcome to 2021. Safe to say this has been a highly anticipated and long awaited new year for us. I think many of us have been waiting for 2020 to come to an end for about 8, 9, maybe 10 months now. And we're finally here, January 3rd, kicking off a new year here at Grace Gospel Church. And we get to jump right back into things, a lot to cover today. And so we started a two-week little mini-series last week called, as you can see, Hindsight is 2020. And I see some of you looking at it like the sign that you get at the eye doctor. That's kind of the point. But that's where we're at this morning. All right, and so we get to continue with where we left off, and you know, we look back and reflect on in full hindsight now, as 2020 is now a thing of the past. We get to look back and reflect on that and look ahead to the future in 2021 and what that holds for us. So just a quick recap, in case you weren't here last week. Last week, we again introduced this idea in this series, and we spent time in the book of Titus, chapter 2, just covering a few verses there. But what we really did in those few verses in chapter 2 of Titus, we honed in and keyed in on one word, and that word is grace. So grace can be defined as the undeserved or unmerited favor of God that he displays toward mankind. So we talked about grace in three different levels, all right? We talked about grace past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. So we talked about grace as it relates to our past, because grace helps us to leave our past life, or the life that we formerly lived before we entered into a relationship with Jesus. Then we talked about grace as it relates to the present life that we live right now. So grace impacts our present life because in the present life, we have entered into that relationship with Jesus, and now we are called to live for him. So setting aside the things of the past and living for him now in the present. And then, of course, the future grace that we have and promise that we have in Christ is the blessed hope that we have of his triumphant return. That's the hope that we have for our future. And the truth is that we got kind of real and honest and, you know, just open with one another, if you will, last week as we introed this series, as we, you know, reflected on the year that was 2020. And if we're being honest again, we can think back on the year that was, and we can say, okay, well, 2020 was definitely a year that many saw some difficulty, that many saw struggle, that many faced a lot of uncertainties and unknown circumstances that they faced in this world, maybe just like every other year that's happened before it, if we're being honest. But 2020 was a different year, that's for sure, and one that we won't soon forget. But because of those unknown circumstances and maybe dilemmas or trials that we have faced as individuals in our individual lives, maybe as Christians we didn't quite allow God's grace to impact our life the way that it should. So we talked about God's grace, past, present, and future, right? Maybe, just maybe, when we were succumbed to circumstances and things that we faced in this world, we didn't live in God's grace according to what the Word of God instructs for us to live. And so the bottom line last week was the fact that God is still on the throne. Even amidst the chaos, even amidst the unknown and the trial, God is on the throne. Right, and because of that, we can look ahead to, you know, a new year in 2021, realizing that and finding our hope and our peace and joy in that fact that his grace, past, present, and future, is sufficient for you. And this morning we get to go deeper with, you know, that concept or that general idea of what does it look like to live a new life in Christ. So we've entered into a new year, but what does it look like in the grand scheme of things to live new in Christ? How do I walk in God's grace the way that I'm supposed to walk in God's grace? Kind of continuing a theme again from last week of saying no to sin. If you are in Christ, you can now say no to your sin, and you can say yes to godliness and living according to what God would have for you. And so that begs the question that we're going to dive into is, what are the things that in my own life that I need to get rid of? What are the things that I need to leave in my past or leave in maybe 2020? And what are the things that I need to add to my faith? How can I grow and develop in Christ the way that he has called me to grow and develop in a relationship with him? It's kind of the concept of out with the old and in with the new. And that's not necessarily a church term, right? Out with the old, in with the new. It's a popular thing and a popular idea and concept that we see to start a new year, right? Everyone, church, unchurched, believers and non-believers in this world, do a lot of reflecting on the lives that they're currently living. And they say, okay, I desire to be better in this area, or I desire to grow in this area, whatever the case maybe. We see people that have, New Year's resolutions when it comes to their physical bodies. Maybe it's to lose weight. Maybe it's to exercise more. Maybe it's to read more. Maybe it's to learn a new skill or a new hobby, or maybe it's to manage your finances better. Maybe it's to budget more effectively. Right? There's a list of things, and we can go on and on and on, and we've all heard New Year's resolutions that people may make in their own lives. So ultimately, the new year is a time when people come to this place where they say, okay, in my life that I'm currently living right now, I need to get rid of some things, and I need to add some things. I need to get rid of and leave some things in the past, and I need to add some things to the future life that I desire to live. And hopefully those things that I seek to add to my life are going to be beneficial to the relationship that I have with Jesus. And I think if there was ever a time that that statement would be true in this world, if there was ever a time in anyone's life when they should get behind this idea that they should look different from the way that they used to live, if they could ever get behind this motivating thing and say, okay, I desire to look different than I used to. If there's a people group that should describe, it should be Christians, right? It should be those who have come to a saving faith and a relationship with Jesus, right? If we've gone from this place of not knowing God at all to entering into a relationship with him, then our lives should look different. And so the start of a new year is certainly as good a time as any for us to think about these things and to seek growth in the new life that we have in Christ. And I think as this pertains, as this concept or general idea on a broad spectrum, as it pertains to Christians, what we need to realize is similar to the verse that we opened up with this morning in 2 Corinthians, right? It's that at the moment of your salvation, you are a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. You're a new creation in Christ. The bottom line is that you no longer identify with the things of this world or the things that used to consume you maybe in your life before Christ, but now your identity is only found in him. Because of that, we should live a different life. And I think that's an easy concept and idea for us to get behind here in a church as we start a new year. And, we can agree with that statement. But the challenge and the calling for us really as Christians is to put that to work or put that to use each and every single day. You see, it's easy on a Sunday morning to get behind that idea, but it might look a little different on Monday morning or Friday night or Saturday night. And, how are you living for Christ in those areas? In what way are you putting to death your old way of living and adding to your life that you currently live in Christ? And that's the question that we get to dive into and look at today. So we're going to look in the book of Colossians. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 3, looking at this idea of new garments that we are called to have and possess in Christ. Just to give you a little backstory, as maybe you turn there to Colossians 3, before we get into the passage, rather, we're going to get some context as to why Paul is writing this letter to the church of Colossae, right? So the church really was having an issue with false teachers who were going against the deity of Jesus. They were speaking against his deity. And so Paul's job for, or his purpose for writing this letter to the Colossians is to stand against that, is to say, okay, no, Jesus is Lord over all, that Jesus is God, and he reigns. Right? He is, in fact, who he says he is really a point that Paul is trying to get across here with the false teachers that, again, are influencing the church in Colossae in a negative light. And then he gets into, later in chapter 3, where we're going to be today, he gets into this fact that, okay, if you're a believer in that, if you're a believer in the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, and you're a believer in him, that in Christ you need to now devote yourselves to a different way of living. And that's what he gets into. So we're going to jump right in, verse 1, Colossians chapter 3. It says this. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4, he says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And we'll stop right there, because Paul really opens up this chapter in chapter 3 with some really dramatic wording, if you will. Think about the weight of what this means as he opens up, just camping out on verse 1 for a second, because I think a lot of times we kind of just wash over that statement, this bold statement that Paul makes in verse 1. Look at what it says. It says, you have been raised with Christ. So if you have been raised with Christ, in order for something to rise, it needs to be first dead, right? A lot of times we just wash over that. And a lot of times we don't get the weight of what Paul is saying here. It's this idea of going from death into life. And so I think based on that statement that we're called to go from death into life, if you're transforming in that way, I think we can all agree that that's a pretty big transformation, right? If you're going to cross over from death into life, that's a big deal, right? We can all agree with that. And we can all also agree upon the fact that Paul is not talking here about a physical death, right? Because we all in here look pretty alive to me for the most part, right? And he's not talking about a physical death. What is he talking about? He's talking about a spiritual death. Because as we know, the fact is that because we have all sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, we are born into this spiritual death. And the Bible says, again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our sin, in fact, is what separates us from God. But through our relationship with Jesus, we can have our relationship with God reconciled, that we can be healed in that spiritual death that we are born into. He says, you have been raised with Christ. Don't just skip over that. Then he gets into this idea to set your heart on the things that are above. So Paul urges the church to not get caught up in the worldly desires or the things that they used to know or used to live by, but to now live with an eternal perspective. So it really picks up where we left off last week in the book of Titus. So the question is, what are you prioritizing in your day-to-day life? So if Jesus is truly your all in all, if he's truly your number one thing in your life, then that means your interests, your attitudes, your habits, your outlook really on life, your ambitions, everything that makes up who you are should be made up in him. It should be centered in Christ. Everything that we do is centered in him. Again, it's this point that you now, as a new creature, you identify with Jesus. You no longer are identified by the things of this world that you used to know. Rather, you are identified by your relationship with Jesus. And so because of that, in the way that we carry ourselves on a day-to-day basis, we need to prioritize what honors him. We need to prioritize what honors him above everything else and make sure that our allegiance really to him is above every other allegiance that we might have here on this earth or every other matter or affair or desire that we can be consumed with. We have to make sure that in the life that we live in Christ, that everything else falls under that. You know, I think that Paul really wants the church to get this idea that anyone who is all in, 100% in Christ, that they should and are called to, commanded to live in this world with a different mindset or a different approach, right? More specifically, even, they live with a different approach than the one that they used to have or possess in themselves. You see, because once you come to faith in Jesus, you view everything, or you should view everything, in light of eternity. That's what it means to set your heart and your mind on the things above. Because you're no longer living for the world and all that it offers you, and everything that matters in this world is nothing in comparison to the relationship that you now have with Jesus. So live with an eternal perspective. And then in verse 3, we kind of see the motivation to live out what he talks about in verses 1 and 2. We see the root principle for the Christian life, which is the union with Christ that we can have. Union with Christ is the root principle for the Christian life that we're talking about today. We're talking about what it means and what it looks like to live the new life that you now have. Well, that's all rooted in the fact that we are unified with Christ. It's the entire motivation for verses 1 and 2. You see that you have what? You've died with Christ. Everything that is now, you know, foreign to him, everything that is alien to him, everything that goes against him now goes against you in the same way. Everything is foreign to you in the same way because you have died with Christ. And that's what makes us unified with him. In verse 4, we see another motivation to set our hearts and minds on the things above, and that is found in the promise of Christ's return and our manifestation with Christ in glory. The triumphant return, the future grace that we look forward and cling to. So the question is, as a believer in Christ, you have been unified with Christ, so that begs the question, how much weight am I putting into that? How much does that motivate the way that I live currently? How much does that drive the relationships that I have even in the present day? How much am I influenced by the fact that I have unity with Jesus? And then in verse 5, we really see Paul, and what we're going to read now, we see Paul get really just into the thrust of this passage as it pertains to living this Christian life that you are called to live in your new self. Look at what it says in verse 5. It says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them." Verse 8, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and you have put on the new self, who is being renewed by a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." Verse 11, "A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and is in all." And we'll stop right there. And I think it's safe to say that what we see here is that Paul is not messing around in any way. He's getting to the point. This action that is supposed to take place when we cross over from death into life isn't really an option, right? This isn't an optional choice that we have to change the way that we live. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are called and commanded to change the way that we live once we enter into relationship with him. This action of putting to death your old life is a command. And it's not just a command for us on a Sunday morning. It's not just a command for us when we're around our church friends and peers and maybe family. But it's a command to do that each and every single day, to get rid of it. Paul's not messing around when he gets to this command. You know, and to a point that we made last week in this series, Hindsight 2020, we obviously have an opportunity, again, to look back and reflect on this crazy year that it has been. Right? But really, a primary goal of these 2 weeks is to do some business with God from a personal standpoint, where we can look back and say, okay, where am I at in my relationship with Jesus? How am I doing? We can do some self-assessment and be real with ourselves before God. And so I think the question that relates to what Paul is getting at here is, am I putting my old self or my old way of living or the way that I used to be accustomed to living before Jesus, am I putting that to death each and every day for the sake of living out who Jesus has called me to be? You know, I think if anyone knew something about the transforming power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, it was Paul. Right? Paul had this tremendous life transformation, as we know, where he went from literally persecuting and killing Christians to then later on writing over half the New Testament and calling himself what? A bond servant of Christ. You see, Paul went from someone who was all against Jesus to someone that was all in and willing to do whatever for the sake of the gospel. And it's only because of the new life that we can live in Christ that we too can do that. Look at these characteristics that Paul uses to describe the old life or the former self. He says, immorality, impurity, evil desire, greed, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech. And I'm sure the list could go on and on and on and on and on. But I think Paul understood that we kind of got the point. Right? He doesn't hold back. He says that we need to get rid of all of those things because of the new life that we have in Christ. And I love the way that this reads actually in the Message, which is more of a commentary translation, if you will. And so verses 8 to 10, it says this in the Message version. It says, but you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Again, relating to that former way of living. The bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you are done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes that you've stripped off and put in the fire. But now you are dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. And the old fashions are now obsolete. And I love how that is phrased. You know, and if that doesn't speak to the wonder and the power and the just amazement of who God is, then I don't know what does. I mean, that's cool. Look at what it says. So if we just break that down, you know, he says, okay, Christians, for you to think about in comparison to your old life and the old way of living that you were accustomed to, guess what? Now, in Christ, you have a whole new wardrobe, right? And this way of living that you now cling to isn't anything that is man-made, isn't anything that you can attain, isn't anything that you can purchase or buy here in this world. It can't even be offered to you of the things of this world. No, this new life and these new garments that we are called to put on are made custom just for you. That's pretty cool, right? They're made custom just for you by your Creator. And guess whose label is on it? His label is on it, meaning that His label is now on you. Every other fashion, every other thing that you've known in this former way of living in your old self, in your flesh, it is now done away with. Those clothes that you used to wear don't even fit, is what that says. They don't even fit you anymore. I love, like, that's probably my favorite part. Because your identity is now found in Jesus. So what good are those things to you now? They're not your identity anymore. You know, think about just how amazing our God is. That He can give us these custom-made garments that we can possess and own and wear in him. And like we've already mentioned, we're all sinners, right? Like God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so if you're a Christian in here today, I want to ask you this in light of what we just read. The question is, if those clothes, if those ill-fitting garments don't even fit us anymore, why do we so often try to put them on? Why do we so often try to make it fit or make it work or try and allow it to suit us because maybe we're more comfortable living according to our flesh? Way too often we try and find ourselves, or we find ourselves seeping back into this old life that we used to have before Christ, and yet this says that they don't even fit us anymore, so why are we even trying to go back into that? Why do we so often find ourselves trading in the garments that we now possess in Jesus that have, again, his label on it, and we trade them in for filthy rags that really characterize the life that we used to formerly live? Why do we do that? You know, I know for myself, there have been times in my life, and certainly, again, as we reflect back on 2020, I know there's been times in my life where I haven't exactly donned those new garments that I have in Christ the way that I should have, or the way that I could have. You know, I know there's been times in my life due to a misunderstanding or maybe a misinterpretation of God's grace and his mercy that we've been, you know, that we talked about last week, that, you know, I've used God's grace as an excuse personally for me to sin. Right? Because I use God's grace, knowing that I'm in Christ, I've used it as an excuse to say, okay, now I can just live freely, I can do whatever I want, because guess what, I'm in Christ, I'm saved, I have a relationship with him, his grace is going to save me no matter what, I can live according to however I want to live. And that's at times when I found myself, again, looking and trying to fit into those ill-fitting garments that I used to be identified by. You know, I think a huge part of understanding the need for us to live the Christian life is actually found in a verse that we just read in verse 10. You know, why do we need to live the Christian life? What is Paul's point? I love what it says. It says, "You have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." You see, the new self isn't just stagnant. The new self isn't seeking to go backwards into a life that you were formerly known by. Rather, the new self is seeking to grow in your current relationship with Jesus, being continually renewed in Christ. And that renewal in Christ, found in verse 11, there's no distinction between who? Between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and is in all. You see, unlike what we try and do from our worldly perspective and understanding, we need to realize that in Christ there's no differences. There's no distinctions. There's no divisions. Your loyalty in him takes precedence over everything else on this earth. All the other ties and associations that we have are need to fall under the relationship that we have with Jesus and ultimately fall at the foot of the cross. You know, I don't know about you, but I think that's a message for us today, just as it was for the original audience of the Colossians. You know, there's a lot of differing opinions that we have. There's a lot of differences that we have and divisions that we've seen take place, you know, in the church and outside of the church, and a lot of things to get into disagreements over. But in Christ, what we need to realize is, guess what? There's no distinctions. Because Christ is all and is in all, and salvation that we can have and experience only through Jesus is available to who? It's available to everybody. There's no distinctions. There's no differences. A similar passage, Ephesians 4, where Paul says something similar again. He says this in verse 1, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere," or to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4, 1-6, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all." You know, what we need to ultimately realize in the context of this passage and the one that we are in today is that there's nothing but unity in Christ and in the body of Christ. And so maybe that's going to require, you know, each and every single one of us to maybe set aside some differences that we may have, and to do so for the sake of the gospel, to do so and to live in such a way that ultimately we live to build the kingdom of God rather than our own kingdom, so that God would be glorified rather than our circumstances or situation would be magnified. Rather, let's glorify God in and through it. And so finally, in the last chunk of scripture that we're going to read today, you know, Paul answers this question, okay, how do we clothe ourselves with these new garments? Like, how do we live in such a way that is going to benefit the new self and the new identity that we have in Jesus? So verses 12, Colossians chapter 3, back there, says this: "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Then whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." You know, we definitely see a transition or a change in Paul's tone here, right? He goes from this language of, okay, now put these things to death, rid yourselves of this former way of living, to now what? To now clothe yourselves with this new way of living that you now have in Jesus. And so if you're wondering again what these new garments that God instructs us to add to our faith, Paul gives us some examples of what that can look like in our lives. He lays out what a Christian should look like and what they can add to their faith as they walk now in a relationship with Jesus. He says this: put on a heart of what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. And then lastly, and he sets this aside for emphasis and to make a point, he says, lastly, beyond all these things, put on love. Again, I love how this is worded in the message. Colossians 3:14 there says, regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I love that. It's your all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Don't go anywhere without it. Love God and love people. We know that these are the two greatest commands and that everything else stems from these two things. And so in Christ, we are to never be without love that we have for God and the love that we have for others. Then in verses 15 to 17 that we just read, Paul gives us three commands for us as we walk in this relationship that we have with Jesus. The first one is to let the peace of Christ rule you. Jesus said it himself, actually, in John chapter 14. He said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." See, Jesus gives us a peace that we can't even really comprehend in our flesh. He says, it's not like peace that the world gives to you. My kind of peace that I give is different and better, by the way, the peace that we can have in Jesus. The second command that Paul gives us is to let the word of Christ dwell within you. All right, how do we allow the word of Christ to dwell within us? Well, it starts by reading the word of God, by the way. It's the only way that you're going to have it dwell within you is if you actually pick it up and read it and seek to learn it and know it, right? You know, and then out of that, you are led and influenced by that understanding of the word of God. You know, there's a lot of people who can quote scripture and can quote verse after verse after verse to you, and then, you know, you look at their life or, you know, situations and circumstances that you find them in or whatever the case may be, and yet that understanding and interpretation and knowledge that they have of the Bible is not being applied to the life that they are living. You see, the two are supposed to go hand in hand. You're supposed to have a knowledge of the Word of God, and then you're supposed to live it out in your actions on a daily basis. So Paul's command is to truly seek to have the word of Christ dwell within you so much so that it's almost like second nature that the understanding and the knowledge that you have of the word of God just flows out of you in your actions. Thirdly, the command that we see in verse 17 is whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. And I get to tell our youth this a lot. Actually, you know, I say take Jesus with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Take Jesus with you. You know, live in such a way that regardless of what it is or where you find yourselves, that he is the one that is receiving the glory. And so what is the application for us here as we start a brand new year, and we now have 2020 in the rear view mirror, and thank goodness for that. But what's the application for us? How do we move forward? And so I want to focus in on just one word that we've talked about, you know, a little bit recently, and focus in on that word just for these last few minutes as we get ready to wrap up. And that word is peace. All right, and I'm going to make a couple statements, and I think I'm right about this. And if you think I'm wrong, we can talk about it later. But my thing is, my understanding or what I want to say is this, that peace, all right, peace is sought after by everybody. Christians and non-Christians seek after peace in this world and for themselves as individuals. Do we agree with that? All right. Now, the second thing I want to say with that is that this peace that we seek after and that everyone seeks after may even look different from person to person. Do you agree with that? This peace that people pursue in their own lives may be dependent upon the person who is seeking after this peace. They may be seeking for different things that come with the peace that they desire. So it comes in many different forms. I think it's also fair to say that this peace, according to the world, according to the flesh, that peace that people try to seek or try to attain is very different from the peace that God can provide. The peace that people seek in this world is different from the peace that we know that comes from the Word of God and comes from a relationship with Him. You know, it's interesting because what Paul says really builds up to this point that we just read in verse 15. You see, all throughout this chapter, Paul is saying, hey, if you want to live this Christian life that you are called to live, what you need to do is to set these things aside, to leave these things in the past, these things that maybe formerly were your identity. Leave those things behind. Leave these sinful behaviors behind, and now add to your life things like love, things like gentleness, things like patience, things like kindness. Add those things to your new life, these godly behaviors that we are called to possess. And so going back again, the verses 1 to 14 lead up to this point. What we read in verse 15, it says what? It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So again, put these things aside, your former way of living, add this new way of living, wear these new garments that God has given you, and guess what? Then the peace of Christ will reign within you. The peace of Christ will reign within you. And what we ultimately need to realize is that we are called to this. This is another command. If we want true peace, not peace as the world may define it, or peace as individuals in this world may define it as, this is peace and true peace that only comes through a relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can attain peace. So Paul says, stop living for the world and the things of this world and start living for Christ. And ultimately, we're called to live out that relationship that we have in Christ in three ways. And Paul covers all of those in those last few verses, right? So we're called to live our life in Christ, one, for the betterment of ourselves and the relationship that we have in Christ. The second way is that we're called to this in a way that is similar, but a little different, in the relationship that we have with one another, relationship that we have as a body of believers and Christians and godly individuals that we surround ourselves with. We need to, guess what? We need to change from death into life. We need to stop possessing and living according to the things in our flesh and start living according to the things of God for the betterment of those around us. And then thirdly, we are to live out this relationship with God, when it comes to our witness. We're called to change the way that we live because of our witness in Christ. See, if you're in Christ, guess what? That's exactly what you signed up for. You signed up to change the way that you live. Because he says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. If you're a Christian in this place this morning, you represent Jesus. Again, that's actually what you signed up to do, is to represent Jesus when you put your faith and your trust in him. That's not what's up for debate this morning. What's up for debate is whether or not you are representing Jesus accurately. Are you living in such a way that others see Jesus through the way that you live? You know, with hindsight and this idea of hindsight being 2020, how have you represented Jesus in this past year? Has it been an accurate representation of Jesus, or has it been a poor representation of Jesus? The question is, what is the image that we give off to the world around us? And we can ask ourselves this question, what is that image that we give off? You know, do people look at us, and yes, we identify as a Christian in this world, but do people look at us and they say, well, your life kind of looks similar to mine. You don't live very different than I live. So what's the point? Right? If we're not living out the relationship that we have with Jesus, then we can be a very, very bad testament of what it even looks like and what that means for us to be a Christian. So we're called to represent Jesus in an accurate way. So even though even if you claim Jesus and you have this relationship with him, do you find yourselves living according to the past life and the old garments that you used to have, or do you find yourself living in the new life that you have in Christ? You know, Paul says, in everything you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Take Jesus with you. Whether that's at school, whether that's at work, whether that's in your home, whether that's with, you know, your crazy relatives and, you know, whatever. If any of my relatives are watching, I'm sorry. Wasn't intended for you, I promise, as the other people. Yeah. Whatever it is, wherever you find yourself, whoever you find yourself interacting with, are you representing Jesus the way that you should? Or are you a poor representative of Jesus in that relationship? You know, so I've got a question for you as we wrap up, and it's not a question that is intended to be answered out loud. It's a question that is intended to be dealt with when it comes to your relationship with God, to do business with God as we enter into this new year. And whatever you think about New Year's resolutions and all of those, you know, kinds of things that the world recognizes, the fact of the matter is that any time is a good time to do business with God, and any time is a good time to get right with Him and to seek change and betterment in our life. And so let's do that when it comes to the most important thing in this world, and that's the relationship that we have with Jesus. And so the question is this. As you look back and you think about the life that you've been living as of late, can you pinpoint an area of your life that needs to change? Is there an area of your life where you're still living for your past, or you're still living for that former self or your old self that you used to live according to? Are you living in that now, in a certain area of your life? Are you living according to your flesh? And so as we have just a moment to ponder that thought, why don't we do business with God as we enter into this new year? And that can happen in three steps. The first is to recognize, the second is to repent, and the third is to respond. So we can recognize maybe an area or two or three or 85 of our life where we're kind of falling short, where we're kind of missing the mark of what it means to be a Christian. It starts with a recognition of that, and then it starts with this, and then it moves to this act of repentance and saying, God, I'm not being who you've called me to be. Maybe in 2020, because of these circumstances that I found myself in, I was just not living for you, and I was identifying way more with my flesh than I was living out my relationship with you. And God, I am sorry for that. Lord, and I ask for forgiveness in that, Lord, that you would help me and shape me and mold me into the person that you have called me to be. And then the response, the third point is, what is the response going to be? Is it going to be one where you change? Not just where you seek change, but where you actually live in a transformed life, to live in a new way in Christ, representing Him the way that you are called to represent Him. To wear the new garments that Christ has, again, custom made for you. He loves you that much. You know, the only reason that we're called to live for Him is because He died for you. And He died for me, and He died for everybody. And so why don't we just now, you know, to end the service just a little differently, why don't you just take a moment right where you're at and do some business with God? And to go through these steps of recognizing, okay, God, where am I falling short? And to repent of that, and then ultimately with your life and as we enter into a new year, to respond and to be made new in Christ. So take a moment just right where you are, and then I will close this in prayer. God, we love you. God, we're so thankful for the relationship that we can have with you through your Son being sent to this world to ultimately die on the cross, taking the penalty and the punishment that we deserve. Lord, help us to walk in this relationship that we have with you. Lord, help us to give off an accurate representation of who you are and what it means to be a Christian in this world in 2021. God, and we admit, Lord, that there's absolutely some areas of our life where we could represent you a little bit better. Lord, there's absolutely areas of our life where we may not be giving off the best representation of Jesus the way that we should. Lord, and we seek growth and development in this new year. Lord, we seek first that we would just be able to recognize where we fall short. Lord, that we would be able to recognize the life that you are calling us to live is not the life that we may be living right now in a certain area. Lord, help us to repent of those things. Help us to come boldly before you, open and honest, and to ask for forgiveness. Lord, and then thirdly, help us to respond in a way that is beneficial to the life that we have in you. Lord, to beneficial to the life that we have with other believers around us, Lord, and then finally beneficial to the witness that we give off. Lord, help us to be a strong witness for you in this new year. Help us to represent you accurately, God. Lord, and may you receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for it, Lord, because of you, we can even live this new life. It's because we are unified with Christ that we can ultimately die to self and live the new life that we now have in Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that to your glory. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.